We spent a lot of time last week here on the air, and I know we all spent a lot of time talking about and concerned about the immigration crisis on the border that was transpiring and continues to transpire. In the midst of that, Wednesday of last week, June 20th, was World Refugee Day, recognizing another crisis that's happening simultaneously, and it too has local ramifications. About 1,200 refugees currently reside here in Orange County. The Refugee Support Center, based out of Carrboro, is a nonprofit that exists to help those residents out as they adjust to life here in Orange County and trying to get them on their feet. Flicka Bateman is the director of the Refugee Support Center. RefugeeSupportCenter.org is their website, by the way, if you want more information on them. But Flicka joins us here now in the studio. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So before we talk about the situation locally and what the Refugee Support Center does, give us just sort of a general overview of kind of the state of the world, because there's some really stark and troubling statistics about the refugee crisis globally. I know on your website it says about 1 in 100 people worldwide are displaced from their homes. I know there have been reports that this time right now we're seeing more refugees worldwide than we have at any point since World War II. So the situation is really troubling.
Yes, there is a global refugee crisis. Over 65 million forcibly displaced people are living worldwide. This includes people who've been forced to flee their homes because of violence, because of war, because of persecution, but are living still within the country of origin. They're called internally displaced people. There are 22.5 million refugees. They are registered with what's called the UNHCR, the United Nations High Commission for Refugees. Worldwide, 54% of these refugees come from three countries, Syria, Afghanistan, and Somalia. The federal government's current refugee policy has reduced the number of refugees who are able to gain permission to come to the United States. Heretofore, we had been receiving about 85 to 95,000 refugees. At the last end of the year of the Obama administration, refugee advocates had asked that number, that quota, to be up to 200,000. The presidential determination was it would be 95,000. With the current administration, it was reduced to 45,000. Out of that number, only about 20,000 have come to the United States. The federal fiscal year ends in October. That means to even to bring in the remaining 20,000, we're going to have to 25,000. We're going to have an accelerated pace of refugee admission. So I would urge the listening audience to contact their representatives, their senators, contact POTUS. Say we need to accelerate the rate to let these folks in. Orange County this year has received an appalling 14 refugees as of May, and 14 are now coming in June. So there's been an acceleration.
How does that compare to previous years in Orange County?
The average is probably about 150 to 200. So it's stark. It's very stark. Part of that is the cost of housing. Resettlement agencies cannot find sustainable housing that they can continue to pay for after support is gone. But the other part is just refugees are not allowed to come in. And it's a terrible crisis. It's a preventable crisis. These folks have been vetted. These folks have been through horrible, horrible, horrible things and deserve a chance. They're wonderful folks. They make good workers, they make good neighbors, they make good students, and they deserve a chance.
You mentioned vetting, and I know we've spoken with refugees living locally here on the air in the past, and some of them talk about, A, being in refugee camps for, in some cases, literally decades, but also spending pretty much that entire amount of time going through the process of applying for refugee status and being accepted to the U.S. and going through a vetting process that runs on, in some cases, for years and years and years and years.
That's correct. And so much of it is the wait. Mm-hmm. You pass one hurdle, then you wait for another one. Then you pass another one, and you wait for another one. Then maybe there's a medical condition that comes up for a member of your family. So you either face the difficult choice of, do I leave my family or leave part of my family and come here? And I've seen that. Do I wait, lose my place in line until everybody's healthy? And that's part of the vetting. And they can come.
Now, this is the vetting pre-Trump as well. So when Trump comes in and says, "Oh, we're not vetting enough," like this is the policy that pre-exists.
Correct.
Yeah. Speaking with Flicka Bateman again, director of the Refugee Support Center. Again, refugeesupportcenter.org is the website, and we should mention that we were talking about this before we got started. That what we're describing here, what you're talking about, is tangentially, but not the same thing as the family separation crisis that's been taking place on the border that people have also been extremely concerned about and pushing back against. This is in addition to that, right?
Yeah. Let me give you an example. A refugee family, a husband, wife, son in Burma. The husband had heard of the campaign of the Burmese soldiers going around from village to village, grabbing all the able-bodied men, branding them on the neck so that they then would serve as soldiers. He and his wife decided to flee, to try to get to Malaysia to claim refugee status with the UNHCR. Mm-hmm. The wife was had a child by a previous marriage. Turns out the wife was pregnant and could not travel. So the man decided for fear of his own life, he had to leave. He got to UNHCR, he got to Malaysia, said he would send for his wife and the two children. By then, a son had been born he'd never seen. He paid someone who agreed to smuggle them over the border, because they're crossing into a country that has not received them. They are not refugees now. They are just fleeing. The man who was driving the car said to the mother, "You will have to keep your 2-year-old and your infant in the bottom of the car, back, not on the floor of the back seat. It's a 12-hour drive." Well, how does someone keep children that age quiet for that long? She said, "I can't manage." He said, "You have to choose." She chose. She chose the infant, left the son, the 2-year-old, with a grandma. Okay. They went to Malaysia, registered as refugees, said, "How do we get our son in?" "Well, let's start doing this." They worked on the process, still couldn't get the son over, and their number came up. Time to go. The U.S. will accept you, but we want to wait for our son. Go now. When you get there, we can help you, or someone can help you there. So the agonizing choice first, the father had to make, leave my family. Mm-hmm. Then the agonizing choice the mother had to make, which child do I bring, which child do I stay? And now the agonizing choice all three have to make, what do we do about the son that's still in Burma? So they also got here, found out that because the Burmese army again was approaching another village, that the son, grandma, and uncle fled to India, where he is living. So we have been in the process for the last 2.5 years of applying to USCIS, which is under the Department of Homeland Security, to secure this child's permission to come over here. The current administration has erected more barriers, which I want to call the second wall, for family reunification. He calls it, I think, tag team reunification. Mm-hmm. And this child is still in India. He's 11. I said to the mom recently, what is he saying? What does he ask you? And he said, "Mommy, do they have balls for little boys in America?"
And this family, these are some of the lucky ones, right? These are the ones who were able to escape, to get to a refugee camp, to apply for refugee status, to get accepted, to come to the U.S.
Correct.
These are among the luckiest of the refugees.
Correct.
And this is what they're facing.
Correct. And extended families may have a sister living in Sweden with her family while she is here in Carrboro and somebody's parents are in Australia. So it is not a niche, let's all move to the same place. Certainly the nuclear family, as much as they can, will be kept together.
Speaking again with Flicka Bateman, so there are about 1,200 refugees in Orange County, most of them from Burma, is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so what is it that, what are the challenges that they face here in our community that you help them with?
Well, some of clearly the language barrier is a very big one. So we help them with ESL classes, after school tutoring for kids, adult literacy tutoring for adults who can't come to our classes. We help them with employment, help them understand housing. What's a Western toilet? What do you mean I have to move my hands to get a faucet to come on? What do you mean I have to sign all these papers? One refugee once said to me, everywhere I go, there's always paperwork. There's so many forms here. We help them with transportation, help them access other resources, health departments, medical services, social services. We, I think, are a sounding board. Sometimes they just come in and cry. They talk about how hard it is. They say, everywhere we go, we're always low. In Burma, we were low. In Thailand, we were low. Now we are low here. We have a pro bono law clinic that advocates for them, helps them connect to the courts if they need legal representation, as well as do immigration legal work, which is applying for green cards, citizenship, family reunification, personal literacy, folks that don't understand, bank accounts, the whole idea for some people of schedules and punctuality is very, very new to them.
You mentioned the reduction in the number of refugees being accepted, and you mentioned the problems of reunifying families. Are there other kind of challenges that refugees here locally face because of federal policies or state policies or anything else?
Well, they certainly face the barrier of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
They still are living right on the margin of being able to sustain their own independence and their own self-sufficiency. They're often taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
They're very vulnerable. We do a lot in terms of just advocating with them from purchases that they never should have been made. And frankly, there's some prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
The week before Easter, it was the same week that one of the Syrian cities, Duma, was bombed, and some of the local Syrian refugees were very worried about family members that were living there. Saturday night, I got a text. Syrian family had a bag of dog poop left on their doorsteps. So I text back and say, we live near them. Our refugee support centers near them. That happened to us too, and we also had trash left once in front of our door. I spoke to the manager. She said she's aware of it. It's happening to a lot of families. She thinks it's some kids. She's working on it.
Mm.
They say, oh, that makes us feel better. Half an hour later, I get a text. Another Syrian family has had their window broken into. Okay, this is not a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call the police. No, 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 please don't call the police. We fear the police. We're afraid of the police. We don't trust the police. We've never had a good experience with the police in our country. Then 2 days later, on a Tuesday, another text comes in the evening. A Syrian family has received a flyer from a Syrian family in Minneapolis. It's from the school district. It says, in light of the Punish a Muslim Day that is being targeted tomorrow, we want to give you some advice about your children. And so they, say, walk them to the bus stop, if they wear a hijab, consider what you want to do about that. Don't leave the house by yourself. Please know we will do all we can do. So the family wants to know, is that happening here? So we hear that in America, it's morphed to hate a Muslim day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about that. And then nothing happens. We let police know. We let the school folks know. We tell the families, you do what you think is best for the safety of your family. 2 days later, the ICE raids in Orange County happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, refugees are legal. They are different from immigrants who are coming over the border who are underdocumented, are undocumented, but they are legal. They have all the rights and privileges of citizenship that we have except the right to vote. But that doesn't make them feel any better.
Mm-hmm.
All they know is people don't like people that don't look like them, that don't talk like them, that don't eat like them, and the government's coming after them. What do we do?
I think people don't appreciate how important it is to be able to go to work or go to school or just go shopping, go out to eat, go to the grocery store without having to worry about, am I going to be persecuted or physically attacked or verbally attacked because of who I am, what I look like, what I wear, what I believe.
And I think it's even more subtle than that. They worry about, is this particular so-and-so at the bank going to treat me respectfully?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I go to DMV, will I be looked down on because I can't answer the questions? When I go to the grocery store, is somebody going to say to me, what's the matter with you? Don't you understand how to use the chip on your card? So it's the everyday interactions that wear down, I think, as much as as much as government policy, as much as anything that's instituted on a large mass scale.
But also just not to be able to call the police if something happens to you. If your window gets broken,
right,
don't call the police because they will come and make the situation worse. Even if that's not true, the fear is true. The fear
right.
is real.
Right. And that's being addressed. We're working with the police departments and we're having a legal workshop coming up soon and things are going to be hopefully easing their fears somewhat.
Speaking with Flick Abatement again, refugeesupportcenter.org is the website. They're based out of Carrboro. They help hundreds of refugees who are living here in our community right now, more than 1,000 here in Orange County. How can people help? People want to help you. People want to help refugees. People want to help just make the community a better place and a more welcoming place. What can they do?
Well, we certainly welcome volunteers. They are the backbone of our organization. We could not do it without them. If you have the time, certainly contact us. We would love for folks to make donations. We're having a what's called a Food Fest fundraiser the 21st of July from 11 to 2 at United Church. Refugees from Burma, Congo, and Syria are going to be selling food that they've made themselves. $3 to $5, can't beat the price.
Awesome.
And my greatest fear is that these refugees will have cooked all this food and nobody comes. I don't care if we make money at this point. I just don't want these dear people to have worked all night, gotten ready for this, and then not have people come. One of the refugees said to me, "Well, I get to meet Americans. Do you think they'll talk to me?" And I said, "Of course they will. Of course they will." So that's another way to help, certainly to donate. A big thing, and I mentioned it before, is advocate, advocate, advocate. Advocate with the folks in Washington. They need to know that we need to, as our great country, take in more refugees. And certainly we need to bring in the 45,000 that we obligated ourselves to do this year. We have all sorts of donation drives. We love to have diapers right now, sizes 4, 5, and 6. We're lucky to have the surplus from Porch given to us that we can distribute to families that don't qualify because you need to be in, have a child in school to qualify. So they're either older refugees or they have younger kids. In the winter, we're looking for winter coats, blankets, things like that. And then if other items that folks want to donate, contact me first. We have fairly limited space, but certainly glad to know that you want to donate.
And again, refugeesupportcenter.org is the website. Go there, find out more information about how you can help. And that event, again, is coming up on Saturday, July 21st. What time and where again?
11 to 2 at United Church on Martin Luther King Boulevard here in Chapel Hill.
Everyone's invited out to that. Flick Abatement, thank you so much for being here today.
Glad to be here.